Father, we thank you for your amazing love for us. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come and be together on a Sunday morning. Lord, thank you for New Zealand. Thank you for the liberty that we have here to worship together as believers and to honour you. Lord, we don't take that for granted. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence. And Lord, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you'll touch hearts. Lord, you know the message our heart needs to hear. So Lord, I pray that you will speak to hearts this morning, that you'll give people your message and not just my message. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Okay. If you were sitting underneath the air conditioning unit and finding it a little bit cold, feel free to find yourself a seat where it's not quite so cold. Unfortunately, we do not have any control over the temperature, and once we push the button to put it on, it's on for 2 or 3 hours. So it is what it is, and we can't do much about it. But if you are finding it a little bit chilly, then feel free to move to the middle if you're finding it a bit cold. So if I start wandering up the aisle, it's because I'm getting it from both sides up the front here. Okay, well, thank you, Papa. Thank you for Valentine's Day, Lord. Thank you for touching hearts. And Lord, thank you for those that aren't here this morning, Lord, and are celebrating together. Lord, we just speak a blessing over them right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I've got a little bit of an unusual message this morning. It's called It's Not Good. And if you're wondering what that's about, well, it's about something that God said. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." This is the first negative statement in the Bible. Up to this point in time, God has been involved in creation, and everything that he makes, he says it's good. Then he makes man and he says, it's very good. Then, yes, Ray likes that part. But it did say male and female. This could be a fun morning. But then we have this statement where God said, it's not good. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this totally amazing. We have Adam, a perfect man, in a perfect world, because there wasn't any sin yet, perfect relationship with a perfect God. And God says, it's not good that man should be alone. That kind of flummoxes me. It's like, but God, aren't you all that we need? But apparently not. Because God himself said, it's not good. See, I think many of us live with the concept that all that we need is God. And we're a church that does go after the presence of God. And we encourage people to seek God. But God himself has said, if it's just you and me, it's not good. It's not good that any one of us be alone. You know, loneliness, I believe, is one of the biggest plagues of our society. People are so busy and yet so lonely. And God's heart is, it's not good. So let's start, first of all, a little aside here. Let's look at God's original answer for Adam. He said, I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, I've found that church tradition has taken that word helper, and for woman has made that to mean the man will have a vision, the man will have a dream, the man will do something, and your role is purely to help him. In other words, kind of a gopher, a maid, somebody subservient. That's what church tradition has put on woman. I'm glad I've got a from a man. Well done. I'll preach closer to you rather than him, I think. Okay, well, just keep listening and hope you will. Now, there is a problem with that word helper if you see a woman in that light. See, let me give you some other incidences where that word helper is actually used in the Bible. Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help. Same word. And our shield. God is our help, but he's not our servant. Another whole passage, same word is used, Psalm 115:9-11. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And it keeps on going through different groups. He is their help and their shield. He is their help and their shield. And it's glad to see some husbands and wives elbowing each other a little bit here. See, I think God had something different in mind. Because God in the New Testament says that we are heirs together of the grace of life. And I believe what God is wanting to do is to bring us into the liberty and the dominion that belongs to male and female together. See, in the beginning when he made man, and he made man male and female, that means a male man and a female man. He said, let them have dominion. He didn't say, well, let the man have dominion and let the woman serve. Now, that's a challenge for some of us because we have been raised with the mentality that the man is the leader and the woman is the servant. But God is changing that. Why? Because I believe that he is bringing us into grace, and a lot can say amen to that one. Okay? Is it 2 Peter? Better get my reference right. No, it's 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:7. We are heirs together of the grace of life. There is a grace that we step into when we start to function together. It's interesting, just as another little side note, because I haven't got that scripture there for you, I didn't put it on the slides. But in that scripture in 1 Peter 3:7, it's addressing husbands, and it's saying, if you don't live with understanding that you are an heir together, your prayers will be hindered. And part of the grace that God is bringing us into, where we are working together as male and female that have dominion, is that there will be realms, I believe, that will be opened to us. And that's part of what I'm believing for as a church. See, we're kind of unusual in it as a church, in that I have quite a prominent role. That, in most churches, is very unusual. But I believe it's part of the grace that God has on this church to release women and to release men. because we are together. It's not woman supplanting or replacing men. It is men and women together walking in grace and accessing what God has for us. I've got another amen there. I'm sort of moving down the aisle. So let's go back to our original scripture. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I want to take this on a slightly different tangent now and move it away from just talking about male and female relationships. Though I believe that's important, and I believe it's an important aspect of who we are as a church, that we work together as male and female. But the aspect that I want to bring is the whole aspect that it is not good to be alone. As I said earlier, loneliness is something that plagues a lot of people. We live in a society that is busy, but not necessarily connected. See, how many of you have a friendship with your neighbours? One hand. Sort of, half, yeah, kind of. My hand would sort of be half up too. Kind of, sort of, yeah. But more and more we are living in a society where we just live in our home and they live in theirs. And our family are spread around the world. Who has family members, close family members, as in next generation up, next generation down, or siblings that live in another country? Wow, look around. Look how many of us. That brings its own dynamic. But God's word still stands. It's not good that we be alone. Ecclesiastes takes it even further. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labour. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Here in Ecclesiastes 4, I believe it's talking not just about the marriage relationship. Obviously, this very much applies to marriage. And it's amazing the strength that comes when you're down and somebody else in your life is able to pull you up. But I believe it's also addressing the fact that there are times when we need somebody else to help us get on our feet. Who's been ice skating? I'm asking a lot of questions this morning, aren't I? Ice skating. If you've fallen over on the ice, isn't it hard to get back up on your feet? But if you have somebody else help you up, that's huge. And I believe that's a picture of life, what it is meant to be like for us as Christians. There's meant to be a flow to our life, like the ice skater. But there's times when each and every one of us end up on the ice, and we need somebody that will come alongside of us and extend a hand and say, I'll help you up. I believe that's part of the role of the body. Second Corinthians 6:11-12. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. I believe what this is addressing here is one of the reasons why we struggle relating to others. It's because of what's going on in our own heart. You can have people come into a situation and say, oh, they're not friendly, they're not loving. But when you start to talk to the person, what you find is that there's a wall on the inside that says, you're not getting close, not safe, just stay back. So I believe the Lord wants to address the walls that we put up in our life to protect ourselves, because while we're protecting ourselves from others, we're also protecting ourselves from being loved. And that's one of the sad things. When you see somebody who is so self-protecting, but if they were able to receive that love, they would grow. They would come into the fullness that God has for them. And again, I believe this is part of the role of the body and part of why God puts us in church. I mean, we could all just stay home on a Sunday morning, sleep in, get up, have a coffee, put our feet up, watch TV, and get a good message. Why does God want us to come together? Why bother? Because there's something in being together that God wants us to receive. The God who said it's not good to be alone also said, don't forsake gathering together. Get together with other believers. Be with them. And I think God has more in mind than us just sitting in rows in a church. And that's why we emphasize things like Cornerstone. That's why we encourage people to stay after a meeting. That's why we always are looking to do things together to start to build those relationships. You know, Jesus was walking along the road one day and he was in the midst of a crowd. And he stopped and he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, everyone's touching you. You're being bumped by everyone. But Jesus had somebody connect with him. And I believe that's the sort of thing that's meant to be happening when we come to church. We're not just meant to be bumping into one another. How's your week? Fine. Good to see you again. Oh, great. Yeah, sure. That's just bumping into one another. I believe God wants that connection to start to happen, where we start to receive from one another. That's how the body grows. It grows by you receiving and giving of the gifts that you have and that others have. See, everything that you need is not in you, and it won't come from your direct relationship with the Lord. There are some things that God has for you that is going to come via somebody else. Get quiet on that one. You could just nod. Why? Because God made us a body. And I believe sometimes we have to own what's going on the inside. If you feel like a place is not friendly, then maybe it's because you've got a wall there to protect your heart. And that's fine. We've all been hurt. It's having the courage to start to bring that wall down. Proverbs 18:24 says this, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. If you want to have friends, if you want to have connection, you've got to risk. And yes, as I said a couple of minutes ago, all of us have been hurt, all of us have been let down. But unless you risk again, you will stay isolated and you won't receive everything that God's got for you. Now, the translators actually have problems with that word friendly. Some Bibles translate it friendly. Other translations put it another way, as in, if you've got friends, they're probably going to hurt you. Because that word friendly actually means broken in pieces. And the translators don't kind of know what to do with that. So in some translations, they talk about friends will let you down, and then in the rest of the verse where it says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, it's like we've got God on our side, and when friends let us down, then God will pick us up, and God will help us, and God will bring us through. And probably each and every one of us can say amen to that, because we've been in a situation where we have been hurt, and God's had to help us come through that situation. Okay, I'm getting some nods on that one. Okay. But I believe that there's another truth that's hidden in this verse. Again, come back to the fact that that word friendly means broken in pieces. To me, that brings the whole concept that to have friends, there must be an element of brokenness about who you are. In other words, we have to risk being genuine. It's amazing how in a church setting, when you talk to people, you know, and how are you? Oh, great. On top and rising. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out. That's awesome. But who are you? That's the word. What about the person speaking the word? I believe there has to be that element of transparency, that element of brokenness, if there is going to be a real friendship. To have a genuine friendship, we have to be genuine. And I believe there's two reasons why we're not in a church setting. Number one is that a lot of us have been raised with legalism and judgment. It's been works of righteousness. And when you go to church, you better look good. Because if you don't, they will let you know. So many of us have come up through a church environment that has said, look good, play the part, and don't let anybody know that you are hurting or that you are failing. Because if you do, you will be judged, you will be criticized, and you will probably be thrown out, because we only have perfect people here. Can anyone relate? Okay, yeah, I'm seeing a few laughs and a few nods. That is, I believe, one reason why the body of Christ has not been open and genuine, and people have been closed and hurting on the inside, because they've got so much pain locked up. They're dealing with failure. They don't think that anybody would understand, and they dare not tell anybody that they are less than perfect. That is a huge burden to put on people. And praise God, He's bringing us out of that performance mentality where we know that we are accepted and loved, and out of that foundation of being loved and accepted, we are being healed. That would have been a good place to say amen, but that's all right. You missed that one. I'll keep going. The second reason I believe that we don't have genuine relationships and that we have the surface relationship with one another is because I think a lot of us don't know the difference between declaring and sharing. I gave you an example of it before. Now, declaring is to build our faith. So when I start to say things like, I'm above and not beneath, I'm more than a conqueror, I'm whole, healed and happy. Those things are declaration. And what I'm doing is I'm building my faith. But if I use that in a relationship with somebody, I am declaring rather than sharing. And unless there is sharing, you will not get to know that person and they will not get to know you. All that you will be is a walking Bible or concordance. And people want to know you. They want to know your heart. Would have been another good place to say amen. I've got my... Maybe I should just raise my hand while I say amen.
I've read a few Bibles in my time, and they are boring people.
Well, the thing is, you can't get to know them because they're saying all the right things, but they don't know the difference between declaring and sharing. And again, a lot of it has come back from that whole performance thing. And taking the understanding of the word of faith, but applying it in the wrong place. So you can have the right tool, but if you use it the wrong way, I mean, if you take a screwdriver and start hitting a nail with it, it's not going to work very well. It's not designed for that. And your declaring of the word is meant to work in building your faith. It will not build a relationship. Let me say that again. Declaring the word will build your faith, but it will not build a relationship. Let's look at James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This is another interesting verse. See, I have this concept that God would say, all you need is me. But he doesn't say that. He says outrageous things like, it's not good if it's just you and me. It's like, tilt, tilt, but aren't you enough? Aren't you everything? See, Jesus summed up the whole law by saying, love God with everything you've got. It's Pam's paraphrase. And love others on that hangs all the law and prophets. He didn't say, just love God. Why? Wouldn't it have been easier if he did? See, why do we have to be in relationship with others? I mean, I find relating to God great. He does like to lead, and as we said a few minutes ago, he usually doesn't want a second opinion. But he does know what he's doing. I know that even if I can't do it, he can. His ideas are always good. And if I say yes, I'm blessed. I mean, relating with God is actually really easy, totally wonderful, and you get thoroughly blessed. It's just when he says, well, relate to others, that you find you have a problem, right? Notice that about marriage. They're wonderful until you get married, and then you think, dear Lord... Oh, well, too late. See, marriage is a hothouse. It brings out whatever is planted in there. So it brings out your patience and your kindness and your thoughtfulness and your love. But it also brings out your insecurity, your selfishness, your impatience, your anger, your frustration. and all the hang-ups that you had hidden. Anyone else found that? And God's sitting up there going, good. See, we need to relate to more than just God, because God won't make you grow like the person sitting next to you will. I'll let that one sink in for a couple of minutes. I believe that's one of the reasons why he put us in relationship. Because I don't think you find out really how insecure and selfish you are till you get married. Maybe none of you have discovered that yet, I don't know. No, it is Valentine's Day, as I keep on being reminded. Yeah, recently I've had fun. I've been planting some pretty flowers in pots and putting them on the deck. So they've been looking nice. Only problem is that I've discovered that weeds also grow in those pots. It's like I put brand new dirt in there, but there's weeds that grow as well. Now, wouldn't it be silly if I picked up that and said, it's got weeds in it, and I threw the whole pot and plant away? That would be stupid. But if I want to keep it looking beautiful, I have to pull the weeds. And if we want our relationships to stay healthy, strong and looking good, we've got to pull the weeds. Don't be surprised if weeds appear, because it's in that context of relationship that we get healed, that we get made whole. And I believe that this is what this verse is touching on. Confess your trespasses. It actually means fault lines. To one another. Now notice it says to one another. It does not mean to everybody. I remember years ago, I don't even think you and I were married, went to this conference and they got everybody up one at a time in front of the microphone and they were confessing before everybody, every sin. It's like, oh dear Lord. I was not in that meeting. I got out of that meeting. It says to one another. That means to somebody that is safe. And pray for one another. You need somebody who's going to talk to God and not talk to others. But you do need somebody that you can be real with. Somebody that you can say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. And I believe one of the reasons that we're not seeing the healing and the wholeness in the body of Christ that we are meant to see is because we are only confessing to God and we're not confessing to one another. See, we've memorized 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Yes, he is. But he has also said, confess your faults, your problems, your issues to somebody else and let them pray for you and help you and strengthen you so that you can be fully healed. I believe there's many people in the body of Christ that need to stop talking to God about their problem and start talking to another person. Glad to see you're all very excited about that. Why? Because God wants us healed. I believe that there's one of the reasons that God wants us to do that is because for us to know something in our heart, we have to experience it. So we can know in our head that we are loved and accepted and forgiven. But when you experience that in a relationship with somebody else who loves and accepts you, regardless of the fact that you have still issues that you are working through, that in itself helps you know and experience that truth in your heart. See, I've had issues, believe it or not, from my childhood, the things that I went through in my childhood, that never came out till we were married, but it was in the context of our love for each other that I was safe to bring out those hidden things and to reveal them to Ray, and it was Ray's love and acceptance of me that enabled me to come through those things and be healed. And I believe that's what God has for us. So that's number one reason, because God wants you to know that you're loved, accepted, forgiven, and that you are totally precious. And we need to communicate that one to another. And the second reason I touched on before, we need that in our relationship with one another because we need to grow. And it's only in the midst of relationship that there is a demand on you to be who God made you to be. Let's pray. Papa, thank you that you put us in a body. Father, we want to have such a strong relationship with you. But Lord, we also pray for strong relationship with one another. Genuine relationship. And Father, I pray for ones here who have locked away things on the inside that they've never wanted to share with anyone. And Lord, in the process, we bind ourselves with shame, we isolate ourselves. And Lord, at times we even start to hate ourselves. But Father, I believe that you want us whole and healed. So I pray for every person here, for a relationship with somebody that they can open their heart to. Lord, help us to do more than bump into one another. Help us connect with one another, to come out of that performance mentality, to remove the mask and say, will you love me where I'm at? Because your love will help me go to where I need to go. So Father, I thank you that we can pray and love on one another and see each other healed and whole. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen.